Dr. Ben Carson had experience as a renowned surgeon and an author and a public speaker when he was appointed by President Trump to be the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. What he didn't have was any experience in housing policy or governing. The appointment was a surprise to a lot of people, including, by most reports, Ben Carson himself. Here he is speaking to HUD employees back in March of 2017.
One of the first jobs that I want to do as secretary is listen. It's listen to people across this country. We're going to go on a listening tour. We're going to see what works and what doesn't work.
Secretary Carson did all of that listening. He visited public housing projects and subsidized apartments all around the country. And ever since, the world hasn't heard much from Secretary Ben Carson, until reports this week that his office spent $31,000 on a custom-made dining set for his HUD office, and a report from a whistleblower that Carson's wife, Candy, pushed an employee to circumvent congressional approval rules for that purchase. All of this has put a lot of unwelcome attention on Ben Carson, including from congressional oversight investigators, and it's also caused us to ask, what policies is Ben Carson pursuing from his office at HUD, and what's the impact on the rental support and assistance it gives to 4.5 million American households? Vincent Reyna is assistant professor for city and regional planning at the University of Pennsylvania and a former HUD employee from 2002 until 2004. Professor Reyna, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so for the price of $31,000, the spotlight is on HUD. What's been Ben Carson's mission in his first year? What has he done?
It's really hard to discern what the direct mission is, but one thing that's been clear is that the policy signals have moved towards this notion of programs, or at least rhetoric around self-sufficiency, right? And another key tenet is movement away from some of the key Obama administration successes and trying to push those or defer those at least down the road, which can easily be argued as a way of essentially dismantling those policies.
The Trump administration proposed close to $7 billion in annual cuts for HUD. Does Secretary Carson support those cuts? How has he been managing the agency with that proposal in front of Congress?
That's really hard to say. There's actually, like you said, there's been a lot of silence over the past year. You know, we've seen a lot of budget proposals come out, but quite honestly, you know, the general statements from HUD about what's in the proposals, but less about specifics and direction of some of this stuff.
Well, Vincent, we've been following some specific areas of housing policy on this program over the last couple of months. The Trump administration, through HUD, delayed the small area fair market rent rule. This was in place so that people receiving rental assistance can calculate average rent by zip code instead of by metropolitan area. And the point here was basically to break through on economic and racial segregation, to make it so that neighborhoods are more mixed. What's going on?
Basically, the challenge here is that there's been a big push to say a zip code shouldn't determine your future, and there's a lot of evidence that neighborhoods actually matter to people's household outcomes, right? And so this policy was an effort to try to allow households to access these quote-unquote higher opportunity neighborhoods, and allowing the voucher rent limits to actually pay rents that would allow someone to actually move to those neighborhoods and afford a rent. So what this recent administration has done is try to defer that program till later on, under the premise that we need further research that shows the impact of this program. Interestingly, there was a recent court case in Washington, D.C. that essentially said that HUD actually has to move forward with rolling out this program. So current signals suggest that this program will move forward, but the reaction from the administration to this program and the premise on which that reaction is based is an important signal about kind of priorities and where they see this program going forward.
Ben Carson is known for being a champion of self-sufficiency, certainly small government, a real conservative. He's written about all of these things. Can you discern any strategy, any direction? Are these preferences being reflected through HUD policy now, as far as you can tell?
I mean, they are, insofar as in press releases about the budget and about the current Envision program that they're trying to roll out, there are discussions of self-sufficiency. The challenge here is that the notion of self-sufficiency, particularly in the application here, is a very loaded concept. And it also implies a certain essentially normative judgment about the households in these properties that don't really match the facts. You know, only 10% of people across all of HUD programs right now have welfare as their major source of income. 40% are 62 or older. A fair number of these households have a head of household who's disabled. So, you know, these kind of rhetoric around self-sufficiency is problematic on multiple fronts, not the least of which is there's a profile of HUD tenants that some of these programs that they might create around those concepts don't necessarily match their needs. So one example is these Envision Centers, which actually is a very small line item in the greater scheme of the HUD budget proposal. And it's this idea of creating these centers near public housing to essentially help people access additional information, provide resources. There's a lot of other components to it. So the idea of providing more information and access to resources to low-resource communities is a phenomenal idea, right? But when it's couched under this notion of self-sufficiency, it becomes more problematic. It's even more problematic when you consider that the funding for public housing and many other programs are actually being cut.
Well, Vincent Reyna, let's end where we began. I think it's fair to say that America doesn't pay as much attention to housing policy for low-income people as it does to scandals or the Russia investigation or fights between high-profile officials. For the price of $31,000 for a dining set, you think it's worth it that we're talking about housing policy now to the extent that we are?
I want to end on two thoughts. First of all, there's a general challenge in housing policy of people thinking that it's a choice, right? When evidence shows there's only 35 affordable and available units for every extremely low-income household, there is a serious supply gap here which creates a demand for support around subsidized and affordable housing. That said, if you want to talk specifically about the recent controversies, the average rental assistance for a household across all HUD programs is $725 per month. So that equals 42 months of rental assistance or 3.5 years of rental assistance for essentially one dining set, right? So, you know, when we think of these things, it's not about funding for purchases for furniture and et cetera. It's about the disconnect between a sincere need for and a distinct need for affordable housing that's well documented, and the fact that, you know, these small sums of money at $31,000 actually mean a whole lot for a lot of the lowest income households in the U.S. And we need to think critically about that, because this isn't a choice. This is actually a function of a lot of other systemic barriers.
Vincent Reyna, Assistant Professor of City and Regional Planning at the University of Pennsylvania. Professor, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.